Blog Talk Radio.
Looking down. gotta swallow my pride. When I think about my life, tears flow from my eyes. I can't forget back in Detroit City with my demo tape, trying to get folks to hear me, trying to bring a new sound to this gospel game. Had people hating on me in Jesus' name. And I could have gave up a long time ago. If I did, you wouldn't hear me on this radio. Couldn't come to your city and rock the show. I just want the world to know.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Network. Hallelujah. Your global transformation station. And this is The Summit with Minister Adam. Good afternoon, everyone. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle. But unfortunately, he is not with us right now. So I am Bishop Shalene Cook, and I will be sitting in his stead. And we just pray that he will be able to make it on today. Glory to God. So while we wait for Minister Tuggle, I want to talk to you about forgiveness. You know, so many of us today are walking around, we're hurt, we're mad, we're just in our feelings. But today, I came to tell you that we should not relive it, but forget it. Because when it comes to the wrongs committed against us, there are two choices we are faced with. Now, we can either continue to hold grudges and resentments and spend our lives justifying our ill feelings, which is reliving it, or we can choose to put it to death and move on. We can forgive it. Forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. Sometimes we say we have forgiven, but we find ourselves reliving the past, and we conjure up old wounds that show that we really haven't moved beyond the offense yet. Is forgiveness really possible? How can we truly forgive and move on? Well, the first question becomes, do you want to forgive? Sometimes we're going to carry around the wrongs committed against us. It gives us justification for why we think and behave the way that we do. Don't blame me. It's not my fault I act this way. That's what we say. And we proceed to tell the stories about things that caused us so much damage in the past that we still use them for excuses today. Now, I'm not minimizing anyone's past traumas. That's not what I'm trying to do, especially if you suffered them at the hands of someone else. These events can cause some lasting damage that can take a long time to work through and to overcome. But we are purposely holding on to anger and resentment with an attitude of vindictiveness. Saints of God, we've got to let it go. Tell ourselves, I don't want to forgive. I want to get revenge. Malachi McCourt said once, resentment is like taking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So I ask you, beloved, are you harboring or justifying your vengeful spirit? Or are you going to be willing to acknowledge that wrong and forgive it and make a real attempt at correcting it? Now, if we're going to move forward toward forgiveness, we need to ask ourselves, do I want to forgive? Because C.S. Lewis said, we all agree that forgiveness is a beautiful idea until we have to practice it. So a lot of times, many of us, we tell ourselves, okay, I'm going to forgive, but then we still walk around with the residuals of bitterness and resentment and grudge bearing, even after we've said, we want to forgive. So the real question is, do you want to walk in or do you want to practice forgiveness? Now, some of you may be thinking, but wait a minute, Bishop. What if they aren't sorry? What do we do when someone has wronged us, but they don't ask for our forgiveness? What then? We often feel that we don't need to forgive someone who hasn't asked for it. If they're not repentant, then I don't need to forgive them, is what we tell ourselves. Now, did Jesus wait for repentance from those who were at the cross? No. He asked the Father to forgive them despite their attitude and behavior. For it is written in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. But wait, Jesus asked the Father to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. That's not my situation. The people who wronged me, they knew that they were wrong. They knew what they were doing, but they didn't seem to care. They even feel justified. I'm still supposed to forgive them. Yes, once you forgive in your heart, it ceases to be an issue whether they repent or not. You see, forgiveness has a lot more to do with you than it does with them. Forgiving someone doesn't let them off the hook. It lets you off the hook. It frees you from the chains of bitterness, pain, and resentment. It has been said, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was in fact you. Forgiveness does not mean there will be an absence of consequences. 2 Samuel 12:13-14 declares that God forgave David for committing adultery with Bathsheba, but the consequence of his actions remained. The child born out of their sin died. When someone wrongs me, doesn't mean that things should stay the same. If you steal from me, I can forgive you, but that doesn't mean I'm going to let you watch my house for me. If someone abuses my trust, I can forgive them, but there will most likely be an increased amount of accountability thereafter. Forgiving someone doesn't mean I'm excusing their actions. I'm not saying what they did was okay. I'm not pretending the wrong never occurred. But what it does mean is that I'm making a conscious decision to move forward. Forgiveness is not about removing consequences, but it's about removing offenses. Amen? So you ask, do I want to forgive? And if I want to forgive, can I forgive? We can forgive because God has forgiven us. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. So it says, are we perfect? No, but we haven't done what they did. Well, maybe not. But we have done other things that are likely to be just as serious in God's sight. And sometimes the wild reality is that we have done the same things, but we take offense when it's done to us. We justify, minimize, and rationalize our behavior. But when that same behavior is exhibited toward us, suddenly it's a major offense. I.e., if someone cuts us off in traffic, or if we're talking about somebody is lying about us. But we have to remember what it says in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. There was once a young lad who, upon reaching this part of the Lord's Prayer, misquoted it. Yet he truly captured its essence. He said, and forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets. We begin our journey by receiving forgiveness from God, and we continue our journey by giving forgiveness to others. Can forgive when we clothe ourselves with Christ, as declared in Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. There's a reason why Paul mentioned these attributes in verse 12 before he talked about forgiveness in verse 13. If we are going to be forgiving people, we need to be clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. When we clothe ourselves with Christ, we will be able to forgive. If we are not a forgiving person, chances are we are lacking one or more of these characteristics. William Arthur Ward said, we are most like beasts when we kill. We are most like men when we judge. And we are most like God when we forgive. Hallelujah. Now, a grievance is a legitimate reason to be upset with someone. If someone promises to pick you up and they forget and leave you standing out in the cold, you have a grievance. If someone promises to help you clean up, but instead they take off and go do something else, you have a grievance. I'm sure we all could come up with a list of legitimate reasons why we are upset with people. But if we have the Holy Spirit within us, we truly can forgive. Since the fruit of the Spirit is love, we have the ability to not only forgive, but to love as well. Jesus wouldn't command us to love our enemies if we weren't capable of doing so. No matter how much damage has been done, and no matter how impossible it may seem, we can truly forgive when we have been clothed in Christ. Hallelujah. So today I just want you to remember that forgiveness is a gift that you give yourself as well as a gift that you give to others. So at this time, our host has now joined us. So won't you please get ready to receive your host of the summit, Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit with Adam Tuggle. We are very, very happy to be here on today. Had some business had to take care of. And I thank Bishop Cook for standing in our stead for us in Jesus' name. And it just so happens,
amen.
It seems like every time, the Lord knows what to do. I'm just going to say it like that before I say anything else. The Lord really knows what to do in Jesus' name. And I thank God for his power, because it's because of him that we have this show and we have that we live and we move and we have our very being. And as I was coming in, I heard Bishop Cook talking about forgiveness. And that is the topic for today. It just so happened that we were studying on forgiveness before this week even got started. I was studying on forgiveness and how my pastor taught on forgiveness. And the Lord had been dealing with me on forgiveness and different things like that. Now, I like what Bishop Cook said when I was coming in, is that forgiveness is not just for the other person, but you sometimes need to give yourself forgiveness. And you might say, well, why do I need to give myself forgiveness? Because some of us don't forgive ourselves, and we hold on to the baggage of what took place in our life or what we've allowed to let take place in our life, the wrong that we've done. We haven't forgiven ourselves of the wrong that we have done. So we need to learn how to forgive ourselves. And we need to learn how to say, self, you're forgiven of what took place. And if we learn how to ask ourselves to forgive ourselves, we can extend forgiveness unto other people. I know a lot of times, a lot of times my children, like when they get in trouble, they'll say, well, I'm sorry. And as a parent, you know, if it's a random person like a teacher or just a random stranger out on the street, they may not forgive them. They might even hate them for what they've done. But a parent is always, 9 times out of 10, always going to forgive their child. The same thing that the Lord does with us when he says, when he forgives us. But the only way for us to receive that same forgiveness that the Lord gives is that we have to learn how to forgive ourselves, and we don't have to learn how to extend forgiveness unto other people. Because if we don't extend forgiveness onto other people, how do you expect to receive forgiveness? And you're not even being, you're that person that's saying, well, I don't extend that forgiveness because of what that person did to me. How do you expect to receive forgiveness from the Lord, and you can't even extend forgiveness to your brother or your sister that's done you wrong? Sometimes we need to ask for forgiveness for the wrong that we've done. Some of us don't even want to ask for forgiveness for the wrong that we've done. And we're asking, but we can ask the Lord for forgiveness and expect the Lord to forgive us every single time we mess up. but yet we don't want to extend forgiveness to anybody else. And sometimes we get so upset. We have people in this day and age that have holded on to grudges for years and have not shown forgiveness upon that individual, and they're wondering why they're sick. They're wondering why they're in pain. They're wondering why. Look, I was watching the movie Ghost of Mississippi, and it's a story about Medgar Evers. If you don't know who that is, look him up. He was a civil rights activist in the 1960s. And his wife in that movie, Whoopi Goldberg, was playing Medgar Evers' wife. And in that movie, she said, you know, she was built up with a lot of hate for the man who killed her husband, Medgar Evers. And she said that her husband had told her that when you don't forgive, there's two things that's wrong with that. The one that you're not forgiving doesn't even worry about you not forgiving them, and the others that you don't forgive don't care. What do you mean by that? I mean it like this. The one that you're not forgiving, they're going on with their life, they're going on living life and everything else, and the other ones that you have not forgiven don't care, and they're going off living life, and they're living life prosperous and beautiful, and you're still holding on to a grudge, and you wondering why you're in the same place that you're in, and you can't get nowhere. Well, I'm here to tell you why. Because you have not forgiven. And the Lord is not going to bless unforgiveness. The Lord is not going to bless unforgiveness. And you wonder, and you know what? Unforgiveness, health-wise, can bring ulcers. It can bring sicknesses. It can bring a whole lot of stuff. It can bring envy. These are the things that unforgiveness brings. It can bring damnation to your soul. Because what do you mean by it can bring damnation to my soul? If the rapture is to take place and you have unforgiveness in your heart, I'm going to tell you this now. Don't even worry about making the rapture. Don't even worry about it, because you're not going to make it. I'm not going to make it if I have unforgiveness in my heart for somebody. And you're expecting, you're saying to yourself, well, I'm going to make it. I can make it. No, you won't. Because the Bible clearly tells us to forgive. It tells us to forgive. How do you expect the Lord to forgive you, and you can't forgive? How can you to have love for the Lord whom you have not seen? And you can't show love to the brother you see daily. We have family. I said it once, and I'm going to say it again. We've had family members. We've had families being torn apart because of grudges they've held for 20 and 30 or 40 years. Fathers and sons who have not talked in years because they have grudges against each other. I'm a prime example, and I'm going to say this. I say this as a testimony now, and I'm a prime example. I've been there. So I'm not telling you something that I've not experienced myself. I've experienced this. And I, like I said, I tell it as a testimony now, but back in the day, I couldn't say it as a testimony because I know me. Back in the day, I had a problem and an issue with my mother, my biological mother. My biological mother, she left. When my dad and my mom divorced, I had hate towards my mother. And I'm going to be honest with you. I had hate towards my mom. I didn't like my mother, even in my so-called saved life. And I can't say I was saved because I had hate towards my own mother. My father told me, despite what your mother has done, love your mother. Despite how your mother acted, despite how your mother did, love your mother. And this is something too. Parents, and I'm talking to parents today. Parents, when you sit over there and say, well, you know, God said, honor thy mother and thy father so that days might be long upon the land. It does say that, but there is a balance in there. And I'm talking to the parents that try to use that scripture against your children when you're upset at them and you want them to feel some type of way because they done hurt you or something, whether they be old or whether they be older or younger children, there is no need for you to try to do something to harm them with your words, thinking that you can do whatever you want because they're children, that you don't have to show forgiveness to your children. Because the Bible says that it does say, honor thy mother and thy father so that days might be long upon the land. It does. But it also says in there, there's a balance in there that the word of God gives us. And that states in the word of God, it says that provoke not your children to wrath. And when you provoke your children, you are provoking them to wrath. And when you do stuff like that, you also, while you're sitting over there telling your child, you know, honor thy mother and thy father, and you're provoking them to wrath, but yet you're quoting that scripture, because I've seen parents do it, and I can say it because I'm a parent. I can say this because I had to tell my son, I'm sorry, to him, because I was getting on him. I got on him about something, and you know I wouldn't let him talk. And yeah, he's six, and you might say, well, he's a child. He needs to, you know, if he's not listening, he needs to stay in a child's place. Yes, that's true. But yet, you still have to listen to your children. You still have to listen. And I apologize to my child because of the fact he's a child, and yes, he has feelings too. Just as well as adults have feelings, children have feelings too. Amen. And I had to apologize to my child because of the fact, because I was being too hard on him. And I had to apologize to him because I felt like I was doing a disservice to him and I was doing a disservice to the Lord because I felt in my spirit that I was provoking him to wrath. And I don't want to provoke my children to wrath because I can miss the mark by doing that. And I was upset with my son about a certain thing. And when I tell you I was upset. And I had to calm myself down. I had to, and you know what? A lot of people, and this is not just dealing with children, but this is dealing with life. A lot of us don't know how to humble ourselves. And we have to humble ourselves to be able to extend forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, and give forgiveness. We have to humble ourselves. Because if we're not humble, and if we don't know how to come up underneath the subjection of humility, we ain't going to get nowhere. Might as well hang it up. Because you ain't getting nowhere. You have to be humble in this life. You have to be humble in your walk with Christ. Because there's going to be some time where you're going to have to ask for forgiveness, where you're going to have to extend forgiveness. And sometimes you haven't done anything wrong. Some people that are in, some people that ask. Some people that I ask. Some people that I ask for forgiveness. I had to learn that in my own life. That some people that ask for forgiveness are some people that have done stuff wrong. They have to learn how to humble themselves. I have to humble myself and ask forgiveness from my wife. Amen. I have to learn how to do that. Because there's sometimes where I am me. Well, I'm Adam. And she really and my wife, I'm getting on my wife's nerves. And I have to I get in my little mood sometimes. We all do. We all get in our little mood sometimes. And we have to learn how to step out of our flesh. Step out of our flesh. And step back into the limelight of the Lord and learn how to humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness. A key part of marriage is forgiveness. A key part of marriage is forgiveness, because there's going to be some times where I'm going to do something that ain't going to sit well with my wife, and there's going to be some things that my wife does that ain't going to sit well with me. We have to learn how to say, I'm sorry. Key word in a marriage. That's one of the key words in marriage. That's one of the key words in life. Amen. Now, you might say, well, does that work in a asking for forgiveness all the time? Now, okay. Now, if you're courting somebody, because I ain't going to say being in a relationship with somebody or chambering with somebody. But if you're courting somebody and, you know, if they're putting their hands on you or if they're beating on you or something like that, then that's something totally different. That's something totally different. God does not want us to be in a relationship that we are being abused. I don't care who you are, whether you be male or female, if you're doing the abusing or if the other person is doing the abusing. I don't care what gender it is. I don't care if it's male or female. You need to get out of that. You can ask all the forgiveness in the world, and I can forgive you, but that don't mean I have to stay with you. So if you are in, if I'm talking to somebody today that is going through that, I'm not going to tell you, because some church, some pastors will tell you, or you need to stay with that man, or you need to stay with that woman, and they end up staying with them, and they end up getting killed. I done seen it. I done heard about it. Trust me. If you are going through an abusive relationship, yes, they can ask for forgiveness all day long, and yes, you can forgive them, but that does not mean you have to stay with them. Because if they love you enough, I just had this talk with a coworker of mine yesterday. If they love you enough, and if they love the Lord enough, they will not do that to you. They won't go out and cheat. They won't have to ask for forgiveness about cheating because they love the Lord and they love you. If they put their hands on you, once is enough. Not one time have I put my hands on my wife. Not once. Not once. As the husband and the father and the man of our marriage. Not once. Have we had disagreements? Yes. But you do not allow. And this is what I was taught. If you have a disagreement with your spouse, and I don't know why I'm going here. This was not in the notes. This was not in the notes. But if you have a disagreement with your spouse, don't go to bed without settling that disagreement. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't. There's two reasons why. There's two reasons why you need to settle that and ask for forgiveness. If there's forgiveness that needs to be extended, or if there's forgiveness that needs to be asked of, y'all need to do it. Whether it be male or female, whoever, the wife or the husband, whoever's done it, whoever needs to ask for forgiveness, y'all need to ask for forgiveness, and y'all need to come to a reconciliation. Y'all need to reconcile. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not let it simmer over until the next day. Don't go to bed angry, because I guarantee you, you're going to wake up angry. You're going to wake up thinking about that thing, or you're going to be dreaming about that thing. And if you settle it, let it be settled. You know that when you settle it, that don't mean you bring it up. That don't mean you keep bringing it up an hour or two later. Once y'all settled it, settle it. Amen? This is the lines of forgiveness. This is what forgiveness is. This is the same forgiveness that the Lord extends to us. He doesn't just throw, and the reason why I'm using marriage is because marriage is like a relationship with the Lord. He wants you to be faithful to him while he's being faithful to you. And that's all there is. And yes, we're going to have to go to forgive. We're going to have to ask for forgiveness. That's what repentance is for. But there are some things, like I said, if you are in an abusive relationship, you can ask for forgiveness and that person can forgive you, but that does not mean you have to stay in that state. The same thing with the Lord. It takes a lot for the Lord to send somebody to a reprobate mind. The Lord wants you to love him, honor him, worship him, adore him with your life. Amen? And in the same, he will extend the same love unto you. But if you keep going out, stepping out on the Lord, and I'm gonna say that I'm gonna use it that way, because a lot of us. And what do you mean? You might say, well, what do you mean by stepping out on the Lord? I don't step out on the Lord. I go to church. I go to Bible class. I pray. I read my Bible. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of married folks there's some married folks that step out on their wife or their husband, and yet still be in the same house.
Amen.
There's a lot of married folks that be in their house, but yet still with somebody else. There's a lot of saints that still be in the house of God, but still be out there with the devil. There'll be a lot of saints that miss the mark because of the fact they done stepped out there with the devil on the devil's territory. I do not know why I'm going here, but I'm going to go here today. There's a lot of saints that are stepping out on God. And those that are stepping out on God, you better watch it. Because just like the days of Noah, Noah preached and preached and preached that there was a flood coming. He preached. And nobody listened. Nobody listened. And while the arms of forgiveness was extended, nobody listened to Noah. Until the day it came when God shut the doors of that ark and the flood came, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to miss the mark because you want to go in and out the window. As my former pastor used to say, she used to sing a little nursery rhyme, go in and out the window. You're going in and out the window on God. But yet you still want his benefits. Yet you still want the benefits of God, but you don't want to stay loyal to God. Come on now. Yes, he's married to the backslider. but he ain't going to take your mess ain't coming to heaven. He said he got a mansion waiting on you, but you can't get your mansion if you're out of line with him. And there's a lot of people, and I'm going to say this. You might say, well, I thought you said a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago that I was born blessed. Yes, you're born blessed. He said he reigns over the just as well as the unjust. He's married to the backslider. Yes, but he wants you to honor him. If you saved, stay saved. If you loyal to God, stay loyal to God. Doing anything you're big and bad enough to do is not in the relationship. That's not a relationship. You go and ask, there's gonna be a lot of people, and I'm saying this, and I don't consider myself a prophet. I don't consider myself nothing like that. I don't. But what I'm saying to you is that there's going to be a lot of people, saints, sinners, and everybody else that are going to miss the mark because they done stepped in and out the window and they're going to take that one last step out and never make it back. God ain't playing. He's not playing. If you're hearing me today, God is not playing. Yes, he's a just God. Yes, he's a loving God. Everybody wants to think that, oh, God is a loving God and he's going to forgive me. God does have a wrath, too. He has a wrath, too. There's a lot of saints fired that don't even think that they fired because they up praising the Lord or they preaching and everything else. There's a lot of people. God's going to get his glory one way or another out of your life. But would you rather suggest him get the glory out of your life and you miss heaven? Or would you rather him get the glory and you make it to heaven? This is what it is. So, but at the end of the day, we have to understand that forgiveness is extended, and forgiveness has been extended, and it's going to be extended into the day of the Lord's return. We don't know when the Lord's coming back. But grace is extended right now. Grace and forgiveness is extended. But and mercy has been extended. But mercy shall not always strive with man. The Bible says, must we continue in sin that grace may abide? God forbid. It ain't just sinners that are going. There's going to be some saints that are going to miss the mark too. That's why hell enlarges itself there. And it ain't just talking about the devil and sinners neither. I'm talking about saints or ain't. The ones that y'all think ain't going to make it might make it before you. Just saying. The one that you think that the Lord can't save just might save them. And they might end up making it. You might end up in the barn. At the end of the day, so I had to, like I said before, there are times throughout my life, I try to take them out together every once in a while, and then I try to take them out one by one every once in a while. And I I ask them how am I, and I let them grade me on how I'm doing. And sometimes I get low grade sometimes, and sometimes I get high grade. And I take my wife out sometimes, and I ask her how I'm doing. And sometimes I get low grades, and sometimes I get high grades. But in the midst of those being, in the midst of those times of them telling me how I'm doing, at the end of the day, I always ask for forgiveness. Because I'm learning just as they're learning. And just with our walk of Christ, we have to learn. We're learning. We're learning how to live this life. It's not going to be a flower bed of ease. It's not going to be a walk in the park. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Yes, we're going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations, and yes, we're going to have tests. Because without the test, I say it all the time, without the test, there is no testimony. But we have to learn how to be in God, and we have to learn how to walk with Him. And we have to learn how to extend forgiveness unto man. There's a lot, and I said it earlier, there's a lot of times where I get on my wife's nerves, and I know I'm getting on her nerves. Probably getting on her nerves right now. But I always, and sometimes she gets upset because I'm like, are you all right, babe? Are you all right? And I check on her, and she sometimes she'll get upset with me because she's like, you don't have to ask me all the time, why am I all right? It's because of the concern in me. It's the concern about me making sure my wife is all right, making sure my kids are okay. I ask them all the time, are you all right? Are y'all okay? It's just a concern of her being a husband and being a father, because I love them. And that's the same. And if we are more concerned about our brother and our sister, extending forgiveness and being that concerned about our brother and our sister, we'll grow more in Christ. We're not supposed to when our brother or our sister is down. And I'm gonna use this as an example. If Bishop Cook is down, it's not my job to stomp on her neck and tell her, oh no, you ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. Or if she sees me down, it's not her job to stomp on my neck and say, oh, you ain't nothing. But it's our job to build each other up in the kingdom. It's my job to encourage her. It's her job to encourage me. Because why? Because we're all in this together. There is no division in this vision. As much as people, as much as this spirit of division is running around in this world, the blood of Jesus against it. And I denounce you right now in Jesus' name. We must stand together, and we must stand in unity, and we must ask for forgiveness. I don't care who you are. I don't care what denomination you are. I don't care what color you are, whether you be a Jew, Protestant, or Catholic. Apostolic, Baptist, Jewish, we all need forgiveness. We have a president in the White House that does not take, and I'm going there, does not take accountability for any of his actions. He's always blaming somebody else. Whether you like me or you hate me, I'm going to say it because it's true. Whether you support him or not, that's you. That does not follow me. I've seen it. We need to learn how to take accountability for our actions and say we're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
As it states in Acts 2 and 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to make it into heaven. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. I don't care what nobody else tells you. This is Bible. And then this is Scripture. I only go by the Scripture. And this is what the Lord has stated for us to do. that you must be born again of the water and the spirit, as is recorded in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. As he told Nicodemus, you must be born again of the water and the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name. You must go down in his name to take on his name. So you can be in that spiritual wedding one day when we all go in the rapture, in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love each and every one of you. I thank you for praying for me. I thank God for y'all praying for my family. Bishop Cook, I love you. Thank you for allowing me to come on. Spirit Alive family, I love you guys. I know I don't mention your names all the time, but I love each and every one of you. Everybody that listens to the Summit with Adam Tuggle, make sure that you listen to the shows on all this week, going on all this week, Monday through Friday through Saturday. I don't know. I'm going on and on, but make sure you listen to the Spirit Alive Network. We got some great shows coming this week. I already know I ain't even got to name all of them, but I know we got some good words for y'all coming this week.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. We got Bishop Cook coming with her show. Oh, man, Lester Carver coming with his show. We got each and every person on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. So God bless you, and I love you, and I hope you have a faith and a blessed week, and continue. I want to say this before we leave. Continue to wear your mask. Continue to wash your hands. Continue to stay safe, because this coronavirus is real, and it is really taking out people.
Amen.
It's taking out people,
mm-hmm.
But we don't want it to be you. And I know we all want to see the Lord, but we don't want to see him before our time.
That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
We all want to live. In Jesus' name, God bless you. I love you. In Jesus' name. I will see y'all next week on the Summit with Adam Tuggle. In Jesus' name, God bless you.
God bless you.